Well, last week I was at the NCSY staff Shabbaton, the NCSY summer staff Shabbaton. Thank you, David Cutler. And we were sitting at a table with a number of great people, including Alan Fagan, one of our favorite people. And Alan and I, many of you, of course, remember Alan, the one-time leader of the OU and such an important friend of this radio broadcast. I can't even go into detail right now about that. I'll speak forever about it. But anyway, Alan says to me, you'll never believe where I'm off to, you know, the week before Shavuos. And he tells me about an organization that I had heard about and an effort that I'd become somewhat familiar with. But he gave me the details, and I was just completely floored. It's called Operation Benjamin. In fact, there's a website, operationbenjamin.org, Operation Benjamin, devoted to preserving the memories of American Jewish servicemen and women who made the ultimate sacrifice while defending the cause of freedom during World War II. And one of the co-founders and executive director, chief executive officer of Operation Benjamin is our good friend Shalom Lamb. And Alan arranged for us to have him on the air this morning, and he will tell us about this incredible, incredible journey and what the organization does. Shalom Lamb, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
It's great to be here. I'm a huge Nachum Segal JM and the AM fans, so this is a great treat.
I appreciate that very much. And we should also mention that Shalom is speaking to us from Jerusalem on Erev Yom Yerushalayim, which is even more significant for us in terms of this conversation. I mean, the way it was explained to me, and certainly I'm going to turn to you in a moment to give us the details about, you know, about how this all works. The way it was explained to me, you literally travel the world to key places where many American soldiers are buried. And if a Jewish soldier was mistakenly, innocently, if their memory was commemorated with a cross, which of course, you know, for the majority of the soldiers was appropriate, and you find out that this is a Jewish soldier, you will replace that cross with a permanent Star of David, recognizing their heritage, their tradition, and obviously giving some comfort to their family and their children and grandchildren. Before you even tell us about whether the details I just mentioned are accurate, how did you stumble upon this project? It seems like it takes an effort just to think of doing a chesed like this.
It's a mountain of work. Let me tell you how this started. And you got the details mostly right. We'll add some subtle very, very interesting parts to it. But it all started with my co-founder, dear friend, brilliant scholar, simply great human being, Rabbi J.J. Schachter. Rabbi Schachter was leading a tour to medieval France for a very small group of historians in 2014. And it was the 70th anniversary of the Normandy invasion, and they were there at about that time. They went to visit the Normandy American Cemetery. Most people, their view of the Normandy American Cemetery comes from Steven Spielberg's incredible movie, Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
And it's worth, the opening scene is in that movie. It's very moving and very beautiful. And he just had a sense, didn't articulate it, that there should have been more stars than he saw. And he just kept that to himself. Rabbi Schachter and I have been friends for many, many years. We saw each other at a very good friend's daughter's bar about a month later. And he came to me. I have a degree in military history, American military history. And he came to me and said, you know what? I was there. It's hallowed ground. It's magnificent. It's holy. I just thought there would be more Jewish stars. You know, lightning went off because I'd never even thought of the issue.
Yeah.
I don't know why anybody would have thought of it. But he had that sense, and he had a brilliant sense. So I went home, I literally went, there are 9,300 or so American soldiers who were killed in the war, who are buried at the Normandy American Cemetery. I had no idea how many Jews are buried there. Well, if you count all the photographs, it comes out to 149. As a historian, I knew there should have been somewhere around 240. Where did all the Jews go? And this started us on this incredible journey, one that began as just curiosity. And then we slowly figured out that if you take all of the America's foreign cemeteries, all the cemeteries that are American military cemeteries around the world, there are something like 500 American Jewish boys who were mistakenly buried under Latin crosses. And frankly, when you see a Ben-Zion Bernstein, a Howard Feldman, a Sam Cordova, Marvin Ashkenaz, you see these young men who gave everything for freedom, everything to fight evil, whose memories are incorrect, are improperly remembered. It tears at your soul. And we just could not rest until we decided to do something about it. That led us on quite a journey.
How many American military cemeteries are on this planet?
There are 13 foreign American cemeteries, World War II cemeteries. There are 13 of them, and they are in places like Normandy, Epinal, France, Lorraine, France, Luxembourg, the Ardennes in Belgium, Margraten in Netherlands. And then you have to go all the way around the world, which we've done three times now, to the Manila American Cemetery, which is the largest American cemetery outside the United States, the largest American military cemetery outside the United States. And just to give you the scale of things, Manila, again, we've been there three times. We've done a lot of headstone replacements there. A little over 17,000 soldiers buried there, which is just a gargantuan number. But then when you go to the Wall of the Missing, which is where soldiers' names are etched who were never found, there are 38,000 soldiers from the Pacific Theater who were never found. So the sense of it is overwhelming. I want to make sure that I get this. This is very, very important. We can't just go there and change a headstone from a cross to a Star of David. That is done in cooperation with, hand in hand with the most incredible federal agency. They really, truly are as dedicated a group of professionals that you'll ever meet. And they're called the American Battle Monuments Commission. They have their main headquarters in Washington, D.C. Their operational headquarters is in Paris, France. And we've developed over time an extraordinary, I dare say, a loving relationship with the American Battle Monuments Commission.
I can only imagine.
And they've embraced it.
I can only imagine what that initial meeting was like. I mean,
not so good.
That's what I would assume so. I would assume so, especially a group that takes seriously its, you know, preservation of the memory of those who have fallen and takes their honor and their courage, you know, very seriously. You'd think, you know, for them to be called out that unfortunately these mistakes were made, you know, must have been a pretty sensitive topic, frankly. Also,
you know, very sensitive. But I go ahead.
Also, I have to point out. I mean, you know, take Normandy, for instance. You know, I would imagine with the chaos and the chaotic nature of the entire episode and, you know, a full-blown world war, you know, at that point, it's got to be, you know, a scramble for anybody just to make sure there's proper burial for any of the soldiers that were you know, killed in battle and did not survive.
Right.
And, you know, I can only imagine. So, and again, this is not a criticism of anybody who misidentified them. I'm sure you agree with me that, you know, we're not here to criticize anybody. But it's remarkable that they're even able to bury the dead in the organized fashion that they did.
So let me give you some World War II data that we all forget unless we're reminded about it. It's important to be reminded. You know, now we've come to the point in sort of war or news when one, two, three soldiers, God forbid, get killed in Iraq or in any of the conflicts, any of the conflicts around the world. It's headline news. There's a congressional investigation. Let's go harken back to World War II, 75, 80 years ago. And let's just imagine about 5,000 American soldiers were killed every single month in an age before computers.
Wow.
Now let's go even further. People don't realize that during a world war, unlike a war now, during the world war, each of these soldiers in Europe was buried between 3 and 5 times. And then in the Pacific, they were buried between 5 and 7 times. Buried on the battlefield, the war graves, people come in afterwards, sent to a collection station, then buried again in a temporary cemetery, and ultimately into one of the national cemeteries that were consecrated in the early 1950s. So the ability to make mistakes were unbelievable. Let's take it even further and really complicate it. So many, 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 many Jewish soldiers in both theaters, Pacific and Europe, did not have an H for Hebrew on their dog tag. They either put P for Protestant or C for Catholic on the theory, correct as it turns out, that if they were captured, they didn't want to be identified as Jews. Imagine you're a kid, you're a young man, you're 18, 19 years old. You're about to go into battle in St. Lo or in the Battle of the Bulge or any of those things. And you say, I don't want to be known as Jewish. So if you had an H, very often you took your crowbar knife and you banged that H out because you didn't want to be identified. Turns out historically that was a very, very serious concern. Jewish GIs were separated from their American comrades. Many, many were sent to the Berger concentration camp, which was a subcamp of Buchenwald, where, by the way, Rabbi Schachter's father, Chaplain Herschel Schachter, was one of the liberators of Buchenwald. So really, really super sensitive. And so the miracle really is not that there are only 500 that there are 500 soldiers buried incorrectly. The miracle isn't throwing 5,000.
Right, exactly.
America did an amazing job to get this right.
And now that you described the whole dog tag, machination, it's even more remarkable that that a Hebrew, a Jew, would be buried as a Jew. And you mentioned Rabbi Schachter and his father, one of the most well-known, certainly among the Orthodox Jewish community, probably the most well-known chaplain in World War II. And the distinction he had, as you said, to be at the liberation of Buchenwald. I would have to imagine that the average chaplain, Jew or Gentile, had a major role in this whole, in this whole system of trying to bury the dead. Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah, a major role. There were numerous people involved, Jewish and non-Jewish. And while we're talking about Orthodox chaplains, and yes, Rabbi Schachter was, of course, one of the major, incredible Rabbi J.J. Schachter's father,
right.
people of the war. I do want to mention another chaplain, the only Orthodox chaplain killed in the war, a Yeshiva University graduate, First Lieutenant Louis Werfel, who was actually buried in Israel at Kibbutz Tirat Zvi. And we, Rabbi Schachter and I recently went to visit that caver. It was not in the condition we wanted, and we worked with his family to redo it 2 weeks ago. We had a rededication there. There were actually a set of twins there who were there at the original Kavua when they were 9 years old. They're now, in their late 80s.
Wow.
We have a photograph of them next to that caver. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Kalakavod. Repeat his name one more time because it didn't come through clearly.
Yep. First Lieutenant Louis Werfel, W-E-R-F-E-L.
Wow.
A YU graduate, a very, very beloved young man, a big Kama Chacham. And he was killed in Algeria. He was known as the Flying Rabbi. He went to visit troops all over North Africa, and coming back from the Hanukkah event with his troops, his small plane went down in the Lion Mountains of Algeria.
You know,
he was a very, very security swoop, ended up in Kibbutz Tirat Zvi.
You know, I'm sitting here wondering if the average, Jewish kid like myself growing up and, casual observer and, somewhat concerned about modern Jewish history, I'm wondering if we even knew that there were Jewish GIs captured and brought and killed in concentration camps. Is that something that's common?
It's not common knowledge. There are two outstanding books that detail it in tremendous, tremendous detail. Some of you who are a little older, Malcolm, probably our age, if you remember Sonny Fox.
Sure.
Was a great kid. So
Wonderama.
One of the soldiers.
No way.
There you go.
No way. Sonny Fox
was a U.S. soldier who was separated and sent to the Berger concentration camp.
Holy.
So it's absolutely unbelievable. It's really quite unbelievable. And I will tell you that, Alan Fagan is such a wonderful friend of our organization, of your organization, will be joining 60 other people who are going to Normandy this Memorial Day. We'll be in France for Shavuot. Rabbi Schachter will be giving numerous lectures. And then we're going on Memorial Day to change three headstones, one at the Normandy American Cemetery and then 2 hours away at the Brittany American Cemetery. We will join the American Battle Monuments Commission in doing this unbelievable, unique, extremely beautiful task. And that's coming up.
I mean, Memorial Day in Normandy must be chilling to begin with. I mean, this added component for you is just going to be, remarkable, frankly.
It It's remarkable. And it also goes to show the relationship we created with the American Battle Monuments Commission, that they asked us to be there on Memorial Day.
Yeah, man.
They are extremely gracious to us. I want to say that, you know, our expectations in the beginning was, oh my gosh, we're going to federal agency and say, hey, you made mistakes. That is not going to be a good conversation. The first conversation wasn't so great.
Right.
But after that, I have to say, when they understood that our only motivation was to get the history right, when they saw the level of research we do, which is humongous, they really embraced it and really embraced it at the highest levels. So much so, this is the 100th anniversary of the ABMC. They were founded in 1923. The first chairman of the ABMC was the general of, I just forgot his name. I can't believe it, but I'll remember it. In any event, 100 years old, they did a beautiful film about the ABMC, and believe it or not, 6 minutes of that film is about us.
Unbelievable.
And that was pretty special.
Operation Benjamin, there's a website, by the way, operationbenjamin.org, devoted to preserving the memories of American Jewish servicemen and women who made the ultimate sacrifice while defending the cause of freedom during World War II. Shalom Lamb is with us live via telephone. The first time this organization was mentioned to me in the context of actually participating in the trips was by our good friend Steve Adelsberg, who I believe was with you in the Philippines. Is the Philippines experience very different than Normandy? I mean, you know, some people might, you know, sarcastically say, well, a cemetery is a cemetery, but there has to be the inspiration and the emotion in Normandy. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but it's got to be different than when it's happening in the Philippines. How would you describe it?
So Steve and Renee Adelsberg were with us in Manila in February, and they're coming again with us now.
Oh, wow.
To Normandy. So it's a unique experience that once it gets into your skin, you say, oh my gosh, I have to be there again. I have to tell you before I answer about Normandy versus Manila,
Yeah. We
have 60 people who are coming at great expense, not knowing any, they're not family members, any of these soldiers. This level of Hakaras Hatov is so inspiring. It's so inspiring. I will tell you, we even have a person who is on our board who has been to every single one of our headstone replacement ceremonies, who is a Kohen. He can't even come close. He has to stand at a distance. And he's come to every one of them just because he has such a deep sense of Hakaras Hatov for these soldiers, because what would the world have looked like had they not sacrificed their lives for us? So it's amazing. The difference between Normandy and Manila, believe it or not, is less than you think. When you're standing there surrounded by youth, surrounded by people who never had a chance to live, and you know what they did. So in terms of you know what they did, we make it a point before every ceremony to take a day and tour battlefields, POW camps. So for instance, on Manila, we went to Corregidor Island. That is an unbelievable battlefield. This time, before we go to Normandy, we're going to Omaha Beach. We're going to Point du Hoc.
Oh, my
God. We're to all the places where the actual sacrifices happened.
That plenty of Jewish youth, by the way, ran to when they heard the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when they heard the opportunity to go and defend 100%. Freedom at the age of 18, 19, 20, some even not eligible, too young to be eligible to go, and they lied in order to make sure they were there. I mean, the whole thing is.
Let me tell you, Nachum. It's a very important thing for us to know as Jews that our history is replete with sacrifice, replete with oppression. But given the chance to fight, given democracy, given Israel, we not only fight, we fight strongly, well, with vigor. There's a lot of heroes. This is the story of Jewish heroes, not Jewish victims.
I'll tell you, it's not to get too political, but. You know, people wonder about the future of our country, meaning this country here, the United States, not the one you're in right now. That future to me, looks bright no matter what. But on this Erev Yom Yerushalayim, but people wonder about the future of the United States and, you know, the efforts that need to be made to sort of normalize things that have gone a little bit topsy-turvy in this country. I'll tell you, when you think of the sacrifice that Jews and non-Jews alike made at a very young age to preserve freedom, normalcy, the ability to live in peace and luxury, I would think if more and more people kept that in mind, you know, on an average day, we would probably have a little bit better perspective when it came to certain things.
Again, without getting political, I think the fact that we've lost the common story that binds all Americans together is a source of real danger. And learning history, learning the facts of history, seeing it up close, feeling it, these are very, very, very important things. And anybody who's been there, it's amazing. If you'd like to see what this looks like, on our website, there's a section called Our Heroes. And if you click on any of those soldiers, we have a 6 to 12 minute highlights video of what that service looked like. Some of them are very, very moving.
So I'm watching a Cohen having to keep his distance. That's got to be that's got to send shivers through you when you think of that and when you see it with your own eyes. And certainly when the cross comes out and the Star of David goes in, again, nothing against our Christian friends, but you get my point. That also must, you know, give you goosebumps. Give me one other moment. Give me something either during the tours or being on the cemetery where you just were completely taken by the moment.
So there are many of them. I will tell you this. I'll tell you a moment. We had a. I got to think which one. There's so many moments. I'll tell you one. I could tell you a thousand, but let me tell you one. We were in Manila at the grave of one of our soldiers who was killed in action in a battle called the Battle of Cebu City. He was killed by a Japanese hand grenade. A young man, was married, had a daughter. Well, here's an amazing thing. The family is no longer Jewish. They're actually Irish Catholic. It's been a few generations. It's the American story, and it's an Irish Catholic family. And Rabbi Shachter and I, when we first approached them, we did it together going, oh, my gosh, how is this ever going to work? And I will tell you, to see them embrace with pride their Jewish ancestor, and these people were amazing. The pride that they took in their Jewish ancestor, and they were all in. And when we were standing there and watching the Latin cross, which had stood magnificently and proudly over this grave for 8 decades, be replaced by a brand new Star of David, I will tell you, I cried my eyes out. An incredibly moving moment.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, in advance of Shalom's appearance on JM and the AM, folks, for those of you who wonder if I prepare for these conversations, one of the things I was going to ask him was why it's called Project Benjamin, because, you know, Binyamin is obviously a biblical name, and they're probably, you know, and I was saying to myself, you know, Binyamin was left in Egypt, maybe, you know, all the different things going through my mind. Then, of course, I stumbled upon the real reason. The project is named Operation Benjamin, for Private Benjamin Gorodetsky, a Jewish soldier mistakenly buried under a Latin cross in Normandy. And his case was the first that Operation Benjamin's team led to a successful marker change. So quite appropriate that he gets that name, that he gets the distinction. Shalom, and frankly, he carries a really important biblical name that I think you know, makes it even more significant. So there you have it.
It's a truly beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it is. It's 100%.
If you want to donate and support the efforts of the organization, there is a donate tab at the top of the page next week. It's next week, right? When did I leave the United States for Normandy? On Sunday, Monday?
We are leaving for France on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Some of us are leaving Wednesday morning early if you're coming from Israel. We arrive Wednesday night. We have Shavuos in Rouen, France, in a medieval city. Great shout out to Rabbi Lubecki of the Chabad there, who's been a spectacular supporter.
I would imagine.
And then we make our way to Omaha Beach, Point du Hoc, a few other interesting places. And then on Monday, we do our headstone replacement ceremonies.
That would be, it's on Memorial Day itself, right? It's on Memorial Day itself, as you pointed out.
On Memorial Day itself. Yep, Memorial Day itself.
OperationBenjamin.org, everybody. OperationBenjamin.org. If you want to get involved or just learn more, it is unbelievable. And those of you out there, especially in my generation, which is sort of like the bridge generation between the heroes of World War II and the kids of today, we really have an obligation to, as Shalom said earlier, to really transmit this message of sacrifice and of strength that Jew and non-Jew alike, fought with against the enemy and gave us this opportunity to live in peace and freedom and luxury, whether it's in the United States or many other places on this planet, frankly. And that's something we really have to keep in mind. More about this on the website, operationbenjamin.org. And I'm going to recommend, I don't even know if Shalom and his staff do this, but I would recommend to principals, faculty members, college groups, people associated with this organization should really be invited to come to your campus, to your facilities, to your organization, and spread the word. It's so, so important. Shalom Lamb, I'm so thrilled that this is how we reunited with this cause, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning here at JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nachum. You're as special as they come. I appreciate it. And the one thing I want to extend to you is an invitation to come on our next mission.
I appreciate that very much. I really do. I can't even imagine how incredible it is and how life-changing it is, frankly. Stay well, my friend, and happy Yom Yerushalayim to you.
Thank you. Be well, all. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Shalom Lamb from Israel today. All of our guests today were in Jerusalem. How amazing is that? Again, operationbenjamin.org. What an incredible effort. More coming up. It's Thursday. It's JM in the AM.